And welcome to episode 18 of the Hexperts Battletech podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about Dom's first time.
Ooh.
And the part two of the Hexperts mech, because we've got a bunch of submissions for that. Your hosts this week, though, are myself, Lewis. We got Tom over there.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
We got Nathan down there.
Brother,
We got Dom up in MCP heaven.
My first time.
That sounds so bad. Oh, dear.
Oh, Dom.
Oh, dear. So, Dom, did you have a special message for our listeners today?
So, obviously, we've been looking at the stats and the numbers for the Hexperts just across the board. We're going up in terms of subscribers across YouTube and followers on Spotify. What would be really handy and helpful to us as a podcast is if you'd be able to leave some comments, whether it's in Spotify or on YouTube, drop us a follow on Spotify or subscribe to the channel. Every little helps. And YouTube's algorithm is in a really weird spot right now, where it's not pushing in the way that it used to. You might have noticed that your homepage is a little bit weird and a little bit strange. You're getting a lot of things that you don't want. We want to make sure that we can find our audience. And the only way we can do that is if our current audience helps us kind of push out into the algorithm. So any kind of subscriptions to YouTube and any kind of follows to Spotify and comments on Spotify and YouTube make a massive difference. So I'd really appreciate that.
Super. Thanks for that, Dom. And obviously, talking about subscriptions and stuff, obviously, now we're going to be talking about Dollar Shave Club and we're going to shave our ass.
Not pretty great. Lewis has just decided that he's
going to
shave
ass. Oh no, Lewis is going to run away with all £2 of sponsorship money that they're going to get for it. No.
Now we're not gonna get sponsored. I don't want to be sponsored by Dollar Shave Club or Manscaped. That's it. I don't want to be sponsored by Manscaped. No.
Oh, Manscaped me. That was done. Right.
You know, this one's balls are like the fucking Rio Grande.
Jesus Christ, we've been back like 2 minutes.
two minutes and 30 seconds. I think we've ruined anything with the algorithm
really that
Dom's trying to salvage. But yes, anyway, back on best form, guys. But yes, anyway, let's have a talk about some of the hobby we've been doing while we've been away. So let's talk about all the hobby that Tom's been doing in the past couple of weeks. Tom, what have you been up to?
I've been in Turkey. I've been in Turkey, lads.
Getting his teeth done and his hair.
Ah, yeah, teeth, tits, and hairline.
He's now Turkey Tom.
I'm now Turkey Tom. Right.
They did the hairline on the ass, and they did the BBL on the teeth. It was really horrible.
I look like a monster. It's bad. However,
it's all spoiler.
Joking aside, yeah, things are cool. Yeah, it's good. I've unfortunately been away in Turkey having a nice holiday, so the amount of hobby I've got done is negligible.
Yeah.
So there you go. The answer is very little. Actually, that's a complete lie. I finished Winter Guard for Marvel Crisis Protocol, but that's not Battletech. So
we don't care. We don't care about that.
Gibberish. Yeah, you might have to actually explain it and say what they are.
Oh, Marvel Crisis Protocol is a cool game that I'm going to try and play. Winter Guard are the Communist Avengers, pretty much.
Nice and uncontroversial one.
Yeah,
they're from an older period. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's not controversial now.
Do you think nowadays they're just there for troveling some mortar trying to rebuild that wall?
I mean, I'm always there. I'm always trying to rebuild.
Oh, dear. Anyway. So, yeah. So, Tom's been away, so I didn't think he'd have too much to talk about. But I'm impressed that he's got his Communist Avengers being done. So, that's not bad, Tom. Well, talking of Marvel Crisis Protocol, Dom, Have you done anything other than Marvel Crisis Protocol in the past couple of weeks? Well, you can talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol. I know you've got to paint up some sort of superheroes.
So I don't know what Marvel Crisis Protocol is. I've just been painting Empire Great Cannons for the Old World.
Yeah.
So the Old World is the revised new version of the classic Warhammer Regiment Swords and Boards game. Obviously, you know, this might go without saying, but this isn't necessarily a Warhammer podcast. And, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, you might not have engaged with the Warhammer hobby in a long time. Anyway, so there's this new version of Warhammer Fantasy called the Old World. Basically, all of the old models are back, baby. And I've been painting some great cannons for the Empire. I'm doing the city-state of Norn.
Norn's cool.
Big Norn energy.
That's where Null Oil paint.
I've got a cannon called Black Betty, and it's really fun.
Oh, did you know, interestingly, that's where Norn Oil comes from?
Comes from Norn?
No.
Yeah.
It comes from Black Betty.
You can go to Black Betty to harvest the Norn Oil every night. Just a great cannon chained in the basement in Nottingham. Just go there, the pot's just...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hexperts.
I was thinking more like sort of Luke Skywalker in the Last Jedi, where he's milking the big cow and send someone over to Black Betty the cow.
You've just got like stroke the barrel lovingly.
We're
7 minutes in. We're 7 minutes in.
To be fair, whenever I drink non-all, I do make the face he makes.
Yeah. Welcome to the Hexperts. So I've been enjoying that. That's been fun. But yeah, other than that, no, I've not played any games this week. I think I'm in a bit of an interstitial period where I'm waiting for the latest version of the Horus Heresy, which fortunately the internet has really taken to, and there were no controversial things.
No, everyone seems to love it, and there's no concerns. No problems. No concerns. It's fine.
No problems at all. No problems.
Yeah.
So I guess that's me. And now it's on to Nathan.
Oh, okay. Well, played some games. Okay. Played a game against Lewis that I think he'll talk a bit more in depth about.
I can do.
And then I played a Star League game this week against Ian. And I got absolutely bum rushed because we had two lovely sheets. And I was like, I'll put two on one side and two on the other. And then Ian just went, yeah, I'm just going to stick three of my mechs on one flank and just bully your flashman. You know what? That made me very sad. And I was just picked apart. And it's just the Highlander left with no armor anywhere. A flashman, which is just a torso at that point. No arms, no legs. I don't think he had side torsos, but he didn't have like the XL engine. So he's okay.
The flash nugget.
Yeah, the flash nugget with like one medium laser in the head or torso.
You've got pictures of that posted up anyway, haven't you, on the Facebook and the Discord?
They are going to be posted up everywhere.
What is the Facebook and the Discord?
It's like a social media thing, Dom. It's
what is the link to the Facebook and the Discord?
Well, the link to all of these places will be in this description at the All My Links page. We'll also have the email so you can send in some mail. Want to?
And we also have Lewis's OnlyFans link in there as well.
Yeah, it's
his dirty, dirty OnlyFans.
Well, gotta make
some money. He'll do anything.
He's gonna make some money somehow.
Anything.
No, I've just had a great idea that we will discuss in the break. So another thing of hobby I've done is that I spent some time yesterday to make all of my Jade Falcons green. Now, this is about 30-odd mechs. And they're all green now. They need to get another layer of green on there. And then I can start putting the cream and the metals on there. But they're all green, which is a lot further than they were before that day, where they were all either grey or sprayed with a base coat. So, yeah.
I don't know how you do batch painting on 30 mechs. So
you paint one mech. You paint the next one. And you keep doing that.
one day we'll get finished, and it'll be a glorious day.
One day, but
Or just give
Lewis has been doing some hobby, haven't you?
Yeah.
Rapscallion.
Rapscallion, yes. Or you could give your mechs to Ian. Ian does a good job of your mechs.
You just love playing my mechs.
Yeah, anyway, so hobby for myself. I've painted up a Regent, and I'm halfway through trying to paint up that Kit Fox. I've been trying to paint for like the past 2 or 3 weeks. So it's getting there. It's got paint on it and wash and all sorts. So it's getting there. Gameplay wise, played against Nathan last week. Is that right?
Yep.
7K ill clan game. I brought an Ares, Inferno, Nova T. Love the Nova T. And Savage Wolf A. What did you bring, Nathan? I've forgotten there.
I just brought my Fedcom Civil War list, to be honest.
What is it?
It's the Highlander, Centurion of Iraq, an Orion, and something else. Can't remember.
So it was something bullying me. I think it was quite a interesting game. The Savage Wolf went down quite early, I think, didn't it? And then I think after that,
it was already like dying to begin with in the game. It generates 4 heat by existing.
I'm not very good at dealing with XXL engines. I think I'm a bit too stupid to deal with them. So yeah, he
walks forward and he's just like, my life is fine.
I think no one should have to deal with XXL engines.
I think
of course Clan Wolf will make such a faulty mech.
Yeah, I think Nathan managed to hit some of the engines as well, so it just started to like spiral with heat, so it just then started falling over, so it didn't go fantastically well for him. But other than that, I think it went quite well for my side. I think I got some quite lucky hits with heavy PPCs into heads and such. So
yeah, you did shot one of my mechs.
Yeah,
bloody heavy PPC just take it straight out when it was like having a defiant last stand.
Yeah,
you know, having 12 medium lasers, even if they were the good old chemical piss lasers.
Oh yeah, it
really helped as well.
The Nova T, I love the Nova T because of my role in most of the time he misses with all 12 of his guns, even point blank. But sometimes
he's getting like a decent like
better.
I have tried. I think against Nathan I did okay, but
you're getting like I'd say between 7 and 9 every time.
Yeah, I think in our game,
oh, Bushwhacker, that's what it was.
With the LBX, wasn't it? He was pretty scary.
Uh-huh.
But he was getting bullied by the Nova, wasn't he? That was what was happening, I think.
Yeah, and I was getting bullied by both you because you guys don't like, you and Ian, who was also there that week,
you guys
don't like me firing my LBX 20 as clusters every time.
I didn't say you couldn't
As you
do
should.
It. I didn't
say that's the could. Only way you should do it.
I said you could do it if you wanted. I never stopped you. Yeah, so that was quite a fun game anyway. And I think it was going quite well. It was going quite evenly. Then I think a lot of your mechs died to things that probably shouldn't have killed them, like headshots and being bullied by the Nova T.
And just like repeatedly hitting one area with every single mech.
Yeah.
In one round and just like melting a torso off.
Yeah.
It was a good game though. It
does happen. But yeah, but obviously because of this, my simple brain could not handle the nuance of dealing with the Savage Wolf. So in my next game, I did use the same list again, but I swapped the Savage Wolf A for a Regent Prime. And that game was against a visiting fan of the podcast. I think he's a fan because he must have listened before. John, who is, I think, from Lands Abroad, and he's visiting back home and doing a Whistle Stop tour.
Wait,
Whistle Stop tour.
Fans are real?
It's a real person.
No way! Even though I was there.
But he did a Whistle Stop tour. He's, I think, a bunch of the BattleTech gaming areas and meeting a bunch of guys that we know anyway and he knows. So it's cool that he's been able to do that. We had a 7K ill clan game. I took the same list, plus swapping the region out for the Mad Cat 4A. That's the correct one. And then I think John bought the Nasty Spectre with the reflective armor, the Warhammer 9K with the heavy PPCs, which did to me what I did to Nathan and shot the head off my region. What was his big mech? He had, the Kingfisher Prime, who's it was one of the mechs I was considering bringing, actually, because he's just a solid mech. And lastly, he bought, what was his last mech? It was something fast, I think. Oh, my brain's gone now. It was a mech.
No.
It was a mech of all time.
One could even say it was a battle mech.
It was a Javelin. Yeah, it's Jabra. I think it was the... It was
that's not a mech of all time, Lewis. That's a really good mech.
But it was running Infernos, which I thought, obviously...
Oh.
That's not too bad. But then he Infernoed the Nova T, who... Obviously, I wasn't worried about overheating until he got hit by... I think he got hit by, like, 14 heat off the Javelin. I was a fool. Yeah, but that game was quite close. And in the end, it started to go towards John. And I pretty much a good time with that.
So I do just want to say, John, if you are listening, I hope you are. I do apologize for not being present. I really would have liked to have played against you or at least met you in person. So I will do my best. If you're ever back in the country from lands afar, I will do my best to be present. Yeah. Because I do like to meet people from all over.
Yeah, and we will do our best to make sure that that doesn't have to happen to you if you don't want that to happen.
it is quite telling that this person came from another country, and as he was coming over, you sent me off to another country.
Well, we don't want to scare people off, do we? They don't want to have a bad time.
What a bastard. Do you understand what I have to live with?
I do. But yeah, so that was quite fun. I think I might use the regent a little bit more because I can deal with the regent. I can't deal with
no, Lewis.
What? It's just
that's my mech.
Oh, I've never seen you use it. Actually, no, I've seen you use it once. But I use the regent prime. You like the A, don't you?
A. I love the A.
Yeah. Like the prime is my kind of mech.
Why?
It's got 3 clan ER large lasers, 2 medium clan pulse lasers, and an LBX-20 and a micro pulse laser. Like a little cigar out of his mouth.
Or a little cigar.
Let's cigar, go his... cigar, go oh. cigar.
It's his penal. Out of his mouth.
Tom, is that where you're coming out? That's no tongue.
Yeah, what you don't know about Tom is that he's got the body type of a xenomorph from the Alien.
Oh yeah, I've got a second dramatic.
He's got a prehensile fucking tongue.
Oh, that voice was bad. I'm hoping the AI gets rid of that when it does the podcast.
You ain't getting rid of that shit. Oh, you ain't getting rid of that.
Anyway, and lastly, we had a lovely donation from Martin, who does some nice 3D terrain under Malloy. I'll put it in the notes anyway. Malloy.
Yeah, but under whatever you just said that made him sound like a Cthulhu creature.
but he's
like, metal of a divinity.
But Martin does modular 3D terrain for Battletech, and it looks like it's all free on Cults 3D, obviously. So if you're looking for some modular 3D terrain, check him out, and I'll obviously put something in the notes. I think I might build some fun boards for some games coming up, because everything up until now has been quite fixed, because I've had the Hextech stuff, but... It mean I'd be able to do something a bit more interesting. Got some lava fields and all sorts. So obviously watch out, Tom. There's going to be lots of lava.
Lava? I barely even know her.
Yeah, so we got that anyway. So cool.
Wow, this is a tough crowd this week.
Yes, it is. It is. We're a bit more nuanced than your turkey comedy tour that you went on, Tom.
Hey, look, they loved it.
They loved it.
Although, to be fair, it's a bit weird. I never said gobble once, but it was all they could talk about.
Oh, dear. Anyway, is that all the hobby for everyone?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
I speak for the other members of the Hexbird saying that yes, they've
not done anything more.
No.
But yeah, so let's move on to news then. So news. There's not a huge amount of new news, but there is some news, which we'll go through now. So, obviously, in the UK, we've seen a bunch of stock trickling into stores. Obviously, we were ecstatic seeing that the shelves at our local board in Brom actually had some mechs on. So,
you can tell we were positively over the moon. You can tell that by how we're speaking right now. We're just so happy.
You weren't there, that's why. So we Tom didn't get to, but we snaffled up a bunch of the mechs, and there's still some stuff there, which is cool. And obviously, for your listeners in the UK, obviously check out your local store. They might have had some stock in, or give them a bit of a prompt to let them know that I think the stockist will probably have something in stock if you want to get some of the stuff ordered in. So I think we picked up some battle lances and such, which usually have been a bit slow to get hold of until recently, which is cool. And there's some McCarran Armored Cavalry boxes as well. So that's nice having some stock coming in.
The Big Mac Daddies, very cool.
Yeah, I think Ian's been doing some nasty things with that.
Tianzong.
There we go. I thought I was going to say the name. It would have gone bad. But yeah, he's been doing some nasty things with that mech, I think, recently in some games. But yeah, other than that, something that's been previewed is that I think they've shown off that they're going to be doing 100 mil, or they're starting to call them C-scale model of the Battletech Gothic Atlas, which I think's interesting because it's the same scale as the Kickstarter Madcat, those 100 mil models, which is cool. I don't know if it means they're going to see...
I don't agree with it personally. I think it's all wrong.
Yeah, I think some people probably won't buy it because I think you've got a bit of a tough crowd with people who aren't keen on Gothic, and I think there's people that aren't going to be too fussed about buying another mech in a larger scale.
As I call it, Battletech 40K.
Battletech 42.
Yeah. I think they're ruining Battletech, and
it's making you mad.
Atlas Game Labs need to focus on actually getting some stuff out for the core mechs that haven't already had updated models in plastic. That's what they need to do.
I would argue that they have, and I'm gonna say actually I think this is a cool. I think it's cool. Like it's one mech. They're not saying like, oh, every one of the Gothic mechs is going to come out in C scale. It's just the flagship model is coming out in C scale.
Like this, and then it goes to bloody they. You know, you start with Adam and Steve, and then what do you get? What I would say though is it'd be good if you could let us know in the comments what you think about these C scale mechs. I'm not a fan. I think if you play a miniature war game, keep them small. Some people like them when they're a little bit bigger and articulated, but I'm not a fan. And obviously, I'm the outlier here.
I would say from a perspective like just a modeler, I like doing scale modeling just in general. I like a lot of 1/35th and 1/48th stuff. This is really nice, actually. I had a load of fun painting my Timberwolf, so I think this is going to be really fun, especially with the extra like greebly bits. And I think that some people will have a load of fun with it and will see some really nice paint jobs. And I think just for that, it's worth it. And also, like, I would take 10 of these over any more Urban Mech Lambs. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think for them, I assume it's obviously they're showing off one of their first mechs with multiple parts.
Yeah.
And being for the first of the Battletech universe kind of range. I suppose that's why it's ended up being one of the first C-scale mechs, but I'm sure...
Also, what's cool is that it's the same model. It's just scaled up.
Yeah, it's a bigger boy.
And, like, it's like, oh, look what we can do.
Yeah, I think... I know there's people who play with larger scale mechs at events. I know Glyn, who from the Derby Way, they've been to events where they played with 100 mil, and I think they've played with inch, you know, like swapping from hexes to inches, and they've had a good time doing that.
Sorry, I'm not letting Lewis slip here. He just said Derby. Derby Way. Are you American, Lewis?
Derby Way. But anyway.
Guys, you need to go to Derby.
Derbyshire.
But yeah, it's...
I love Derbyshire.
It's cool, cool looking little mech. I'm not sure if I'll pick one up because I think they're like 35 quid, going to be 40 quid. So yeah, I think that it'd be cool. I think it would show off like the actual CAD work and design work on it better than maybe the smaller model. But it's one of these ones I think I'm 50-50 on it. I don't know. Are you keen to pick one up, guys? Or you...
Yes.
You pick one up, Tom? What would you reckon, Nathan?
Yeah, 100%. I'm definitely going to pick one up and paint it.
I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm on the fence. I've still got next...
Yeah, it's true. I'd like to see more mechs in this scale. I think I'd probably pick up some bigger mechs from maybe something like a Centurion or a Phoenix Hawk or a Warhammer. I think in that scale I'd pick up, but
that'd be slam dunks.
Yeah, easy ones. Dom, what do you reckon? Are you going to pick up hater of Gothic? Are you going to pick up?
I speak for the majority of the Battletech community when I say we don't want this in our game. Send them back to Warhammer.
Well, there we go. That's
you heard it here first.
Yeah, that's it.
You heard it here first. Send them back.
Send them back to Warhammer, apparently.
To Warhammer.
Cool. So yeah,
specifically to Warhammer. Nowhere else.
Yeah, no other games, just Warhammer. So yeah, I don't think it's much more news-wise that we haven't already talked about. You guys know anything else? Or see anything else worth bringing up? There's been a cool animation of a Highlander jumping on a dragonfly, which was cool. I like that.
Wow, that's the news.
No, that is just a nice animation. Like it was a cool animation.
Cool, Lewis. It was thanks, cool. Boss.
That is pretty cool.
Me and Nathan liked it. But yeah,
it's the Hexpert's official stance that half of us liked the thing and the other half didn't
even see it.
Well, that sounds like most of our stances on things, to be honest, on this podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to some upcoming events. So I've been through and stolen some events from Mike's web page on Tales from the Periphery, and I've gone through on Facebook to make sure that we've caught some that might have been missed on there, which I think there's only one which we'll come up to anyway. So some events that are coming up, we've got Come and Play Day at Mug and Meeple in Gravesend. There's a proper event pack posted up for this, but to summarise it, I think it's they're playing a Fedcom Civil War era. You probably like this, Nathan. 20,000 points classic. It sounds like, I think they've got tanks, that's, vehicles, all sorts.
I mean, that's a bit low, but you know, we'll do.
Do for you. So yeah, so that's on the 26th of July. After that, on the 30th of July, we've got another BattleTech meetup. But this is in Harlow. I think there's nothing posted up, I think, massively in there saying what's going on. But if you obviously search for that, you'll be able to find them. Well, I think the guys might be in the UK Discord who are arranging this. If you pop up with there saying you're looking into that, you'll be able to arrange some games if you're around in an area. 9th of August, we've got the Battle for Tamar Alpha Strike event. I think it's a 500-point Alpha Strike clan invasion narrative event at the Ponder's End United Reformed Church in Enfield. 10th of August, Firestorm Games in Cardiff have their usual kind of meet-up and play day. Which I know you guys have been to in the past. I think they usually play about 6K BV kind of classic, but I think they can accommodate most things if you just let them know that you're coming down and what you want to play.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we didn't even let them know.
I told you to let them know.
Very, very accommodating.
We did try and pre-warn them, but obviously, they didn't know. But yeah, so that's a cool one if you're in the area, and the store's very nice. I think they've got some cool terrain and models in. 16th of August, there's the Shadow of Sunhawk, which sounds like a fun event. It's at Athena Games in Norwich, and it's a 5,500 BV force. So you're hunting down the notorious Sunhawk, who obviously is some sort of character, which I should probably know about. I probably should have read the pack.
And they're actually chasing a hunter type bird. It's kind of like a Quidditch scenario.
Yes. I agree with you with that. Dom obviously knows. He's read all the pack.
And then, I've read all the pack.
Dom obviously has read the pack.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. But seeing that it's Norwich, and that's by most people driving about 17 hours away from us.
Yeah.
He might not be there.
We went down to Wales. That wasn't too bad.
That's like 2 hours at most.
How far is Norwich?
Yeah, driving to Norwich is insane.
How far?
It's because you have to go down and across, and there's no direct routes.
You have to go down, across, then up, and then across, and then down in a big zigzag.
Yeah.
To London, and then you have to go up.
I've got some work. I think that sounds like around that area coming up soon, which should be fun. Got some lead trips. And anyway, so there's a bunch more events coming up, but I won't go through all those until they get a bit closer. But obviously, for us, if you do want to play with the Hexperts, we do play every Thursday at Boarding Brum. We play BattleTech.
Every Thursday.
Every single Thursday. We play Alpha Strike.
Every Thursday.
Apart from if we're not there, but we are there. I think 99.9% of the time we're going to be there. So yeah, obviously, if you're looking to come down, let us know, or let Boarding Brum know and they can sort something out. Probably easier to let us know though. And as I've said previously, I am looking to try and arrange an event for us. Was looking at September, might push it a bit further back, depends on when I can actually be bothered to write that event pack. And make Tom write submissions for me, because I'm too stupid to do that.
Whoa.
Cool. But yeah, that's pretty much all the events. We'll probably pop to a break and we'll come back with our first main topic of the evening, talking about Dom's first time. Ooh.
And also him playing BattleTech.
Yeah, that as well. So we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
And we're back from the break. And for the first segment, we're going to actually talk about, we're going to talk to Dom about how he feels about having his first game of Battletech, like his first actual game of Battletech, not being dragged along.
Yeah, so basically, I was at the shop on, when was it, Nathan? Thursday?
We always go every week, Thursday.
Every Thursday. The Hexverse. They're at Board in Room. Anyway, so I was at the shop on Thursday. Everyone was playing Battletech. I was like, this game actually doesn't look as bad when you've got, like,
pretty terrain
and stuff. And, like, the mechs are actually painted. Because one of my biggest beefs with Battletech is, like, and no offense to the Battletech community, but honestly, your artistic talents leave a lot to be desired.
Don't be so mean to me, Dom.
It's like finger painting and, like, enamel paints and all this nonsense. And I get it. It's because these mechs haven't been touched in 40 years, but... welcome to the future, baby. Everything's, we use airbrushes. So, like, I was looking at the mechs and everyone I painted, and they did a really good job. Like, Nathan, Lewis, John, one of the listeners, and Ian. And I was like, actually, I could see myself using some, especially the ones that are, like, not humanoid. You know, like, the mechs that look like you could just, like, see them at the pub. Like, I don't like those mechs.
I hate those mechs.
I hate the mechs that you look like you could see at the
pub. I believe Lewis
and Tom. As well.
Lewis and Tom are the local nonce at the pub aficionados.
We are big local
they're,
punk.
They're not ones at the pub. They humanoid mechs are like that in the lore because that's they use the balance of the person, the mech warrior, to balance the mechs.
What does the locus use then?
You still use the balance of the person, but a person finds it a lot easier to balance if it's a humanoid shaped mech, which is why a lot of them.
So find it easier to balance if I had four legs. If I had four legs, I'd find it really easy to balance.
Actually, you wouldn't.
You don't.
And you know the crazy thing is, I already have three legs. So
oh,
having
no,
an extra
no,
one, an extra one would make it even easier.
Oh, no.
Dom's fourth leg.
the humble cast.
Your tripod.
Oh, dear.
Basically, I was watching these guys play, not Tom, because he was in Constantinople.
He wasn't Constantinople.
I was like, okay, I could see myself playing a game here, provided that we have the nice mats and the nice 3D terrain and the nice mix, and maybe we don't use the paper sheet. Because I think, again, one of my biggest sticking points to playing Battletech is how ugly it looked. Not just the mechs alone, but like the paper sheets for the mats and like the A4 pieces of paper everywhere.
Well, so I just felt like Dom's now leveraging him being like a Battletech person. He's now just throwing his weight around. He's like, actually, I'm only going to play if it's the best.
I think it's super unattractive to look at. Like, I think it'd be so hard to demo it when you've got like paper sheets everywhere, but like, and like just pencils. Like, I haven't used a pencil since I was 3 years old. I was writing with a pen since I was four. The teachers frustrated me. So I don't want to use a pencil to play my game. We can use
go on your phone, and things you like can, that. Go on your iPad. You can 3D print the hills that are in the, like, the board that you're playing on. Or you can even just throw on some hills of your own if you want to.
Yeah, like, sometimes I watch Lewis play, and it's like he should be playing in, like, a black and white movie, because he's got, like, all these paper sheets. All of his mechs look like they were from 1972, and literally, like, I think they've been around, like, me in a lot of cases. And seeing people play with, like, the modern version of Battletech, the kind of updated version, it looks a lot better, I think. So my reservations for years have mostly been focused around how, like, the aesthetics of the game have put me off. And not just the mechs, but, like, the look of the entire board and things like that.
So shallow.
It is shallow, but I think the aesthetics of a game are usually what draw you to the game.
Of course.
In general.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
So this is going to be a very heavy question I'm about to drop on you. What are you going to run in your first game?
I think when it comes to like intros and delivering intros and receiving intros, if you're a giver or a receiver, you should just take what you're given. Like, effectively, the best way to do intros in most cases is like the mechs that come in the starter set, I assume. But I've made it really clear that I don't like the look of certain mechs. So, like, for example, the humanoid mechs, I'm not keen on them. So I've asked Ian to, like, maybe not give me those. Like, I don't want to use the shit stuff, basically, in my opinion, anyway.
Okay, so Ian's making...
I want to use, like, the Mad Zog or whatever it's called.
Ian's making, like, your... I don't think you'll get to a Lance level, like, your two mechs is picking which ones to play with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'd like to use stuff, like, that's, like, bipedal, but not humanoid.
That was, like, my philosophy for the most part. It's why I like the clan so much. Because a lot of their stuff isn't just, like, just a bloke with a gun, like the Battle Master.
Shadowhawk TC.
Shadowhawk
PC. That's it. That's the shadow. It's also their best mech.
But it's like you got
playing the video game as well, like whatever it's called, Mech Boys 2.0 or something. I played that. I was like, this is actually fine. Like I can see. Like I really struggled with the abstraction of the BattleTech miniatures game because looking at the board and everything's flat and the miniatures look like they were pulled from an archaeological site. I was like, this doesn't feel like an attractive game. And then playing the video game, it helps you to kind of remove that abstraction because you can sort of see in your head what's actually happening. It's like watching a music video versus listening to a song.
Yeah. If your models were pulled from a archaeological site, we're very sorry. Dom has just been rude.
Yeah. I'm abrasive and British. I'm a bit pump, what can I say?
Yeah, but also I think there's been a couple of players locally as well that I think were in a similar boat to you, but once they'd read some of the books and stuff as well, they could abstract some of the stuff that was going on and be like, oh, that's why we're doing this, is because that means that's what's actually going on when we're doing this. It's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. But same thing with the games. They kind of explain what's actually happening when we're playing the game, and obviously arms and legs getting blown off, and that's why we're doing these rolls, and that's why we're rolling for ammo explosion, because you've hit the ammo or the gyros.
Sure. Well, I think, like, one of the primary blockers, I don't know if this is true or if I'm just making it up, but I have no interest in big robots, really, other than this podcast. I never was that kid that loved Gundam. I didn't mind Transformers, but, like, yeah, whatever.
I think
and I think a lot of you guys were kind of into, like, you were talking about Lewis, heavy gear.
Yeah, I think I was just looking at it the other day. I was just saying I used to love that show, and I was just looking it up, speaking to you guys. I think it was yesterday, and I think the game or the show was supposed to be a BattleTech related kind of franchise, but then it was pulled at the last minute, which is why it's quite close to BattleTech and has that kind of look and feel to it, which is probably me. This is probably why, if I was enjoying that kind of stuff, transitioning to playing it on tabletop isn't too much of a stretch.
Yeah, but I also think that you, by having that background visualization, what you see when you're playing is very different I would literally see, which is just like really big pieces of paper and you pushing around mechs that kind of miss a lot, which is what I saw a lot in, like, my kind of experience as a BattleTech. And I think watching the other guys play, like, the more modern era stuff, where they actually can hit things and they don't just, like, miss all the time, that's more interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree. I've been playing quite a lot of Ill Clan era games lately, and even with standard pilots, with the upgrades they get, the weapons and target computers they get, they hit a lot more often. And also, when they do hit, it's harder. And because they've got fancier tech, sometimes when that stuff gets hit, they get hurt a lot harder as well. So I think games go a bit quicker as the tech kind of increases.
Can definitely be a drawback of playing in intro tech, because it always seems like you don't have enough damage to kill stuff. So you just end up with stuff like not really doing anything for 7 turns.
It's almost backwards in a way. Like, I feel like it'd be easier to intro people if you had the more lethal game, because you get to actually see what the robots do instead of just like, I'm shooting my laser and I've missed.
No, I can see that. I can see that.
Kind of why Earthstrike's kind of picking up the intro audience, because it is just roll a dice. Oh, I've done one damage to your armor. Or, oh, I've got a crit, and yeah, then I'll do this to you.
And it's a lot
more, like, visual on what you can see compared to the massive sheets
I think Alpha Strike, obviously, like Alpha Strike to me is like Battletech's cousin, but it's very far removed. And what I know, it's very far removed from Classic. Right? The models are the same, but the game is just like completely different. It's a skirmish game, right?
Yeah, I'd say that, yeah.
I think I've seen Lewis playing a little bit with the Adeptus Titanicus touring. And again, like, I think maybe the aesthetics just put me off a bit there as well. But I mean, the plan is to play a game of Battletech and see if I like it or not. Obviously, like, everyone in this community is kind of evangelizing Battletech to a degree, which I appreciate, of course. I'm an outsider in the community. And I think that I see, like, obvious kind of design from the outside anyway, like design and gameplay points that I would like not necessarily gel with. So like, for example, I really like, and I'll talk about the things I like as well, I like that it's kind of a, I do my movement, you do your movement, then you do your movement and I do my movement, and then you do yours and then you do mine. So it's like a alternate activation, but you still kind of put the holds onto shooting until you both get to decide to shoot. That makes it, like, you both get to choose at the same time what you think.
Damage points at the same time. So yeah, isn't as
the rules called, but you will do your shooting, you like declare all your targets at the same time, right?
Yeah. It's just simultaneous shooting or like picking targets.
Which is like really surprisingly modern, to be honest.
Yeah, for something that was back in the 80s, right on that.
I always talk about Warhammer because it's the kind of the thing that I have most experience with. I think Warhammer games have been very reluctant to move past that kind of D6 system, which doesn't allow for the variance of what effectively is a D12 Battletech, almost. It's like almost a D12, nearly. It allows for some variance in terms of hit rolls. So that's one of the other things I like about Battletech, the fact that it has that degree of variance between success rates. So obviously I know that there's modifications for, like, if you're moving, if you're jumping, if you're flying, if you're underwater, probably, I don't know. And then that's with your own pile of skill to give you a target roll. If it was only between 1 and 6, realistically there would only be 5 options for the kind of the positive or negative modifier, which is something that Warhammer suffers from massively, where the dice aren't big enough to present the game that's happening in front of them. So like Space Marines, for example, in Warhammer classically hit on a 3, and the Guardsman hits on a 4, and the Orc hits on a 5. But then, because the games have expanded out now, that variance doesn't feel quite right. So they've had to make sort of choices in their design of their game that feel wrong, where even like Battletech still had space because of its slightly wider variant. Like, I imagine there is a mech that can hit on a 3 if it's standing still and the opponent is standing like a close range or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. All depends on pilot skill and the weapons you use. Like, you can have a guy's pilot skill 0 and he's like, his mech's double the cost. But technically, if everyone stands still and you're in short range, he's just auto hitting.
Yeah, you kind of.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that's attractive is the fact that you guys have such a good. I mean, you all seem to enjoy it. You all have fun with it. Apart from Lewis, sometimes when he gets a bit salty and his mechs get blown up, people seem to.
Fuck! That's
true.
When does this happen? And when am I salty?
It's just that's exactly what a salty person is.
Lies.
I'm not salty. You're salty.
You guys
are
salty.
When have you ever heard a non-salty person say, well, when do I get. So, yeah, that's the other thing that's attracting me to giving it a go. Not that I'm just always on the Experts podcast as the kind of colour commentator. The fact that it would be intriguing for me to see sort of what is so fun about Battle. And again, this is why I'm so keen to hit our kind of listener base, because we are a small, like smallish podcast, but I think we do get quite a lot of engagement from people that are really involved in Battletech and that have been involved for a long time. Like, we've had messages from people that have like been around since the very early days of Battletech. So, obviously is something to it, and that's why I'm keen to hear from people for them to talk about, you know, the game that they have really, like, the only way I can describe it is love, and they kind of have been really happy with it for all of that time, and they've constantly returned to it. So maybe they deviated.
But Dom wants to know why we all weirdly love.
Why do we?
Dom wants to know. He wants to know what love is, and he wants us to show him.
Yeah. So, Lewis, like, for example, you, Lewis, like, what? Why do you love Battlefield? Do you think?
I think I just like the fact that I can have a couple. Well, it's not a couple. Probably 4 mechs. I can paint those up quite quickly, and I can chop and change them in and out and have some fun games with a bunch of robots that get their arms and legs blown off and play on a small board, and it's quite mobile, compact and transferable, and it's relatively simple, but there's a bunch of things you've got to do and look after, such as you've got to obviously be quite careful where you move, you've got to keep track of your heat, your ammo, etc. So it's a nice little kind of fun game that's quite compact, and I can make big differences in the game and with what I play and what my opponent plays by even changing 2 or 3 mechs or even 1 mech in a force. Whereas other games I've played, if I want to make a difference in forces I play, I've got to spend a lot of money and a lot of time to kind of tweak things and change things. Like I talked about earlier, I didn't get on with the way one of the mechs was playing. So I just painted one model, and I've completely changed the way that that section of the force plays, because there's only 4 of them in the game that I was playing. So I like that. And for me as well, for the hobby side, because I can paint up a mech a week or a couple of mechs a week, and that's something that means that I'm painting a lot for Battletech, whereas other games I'd have to be doing a lot more than that to be keeping up with what people are doing. And it suits me painting 1 or 2 mechs rather than having to batch paint a squad of 10. Yeah, that's kind of why I enjoy it. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Dom, if that works.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that was another thing that I was going to ask, just the wider community in general. Do you feel like that the game being on the cheaper side of things, or at least traditionally on the cheaper side of things, plays into its role into your hobby space? So, like, I know that the prices are going up from Battlefield across the board. Lewis is always complaining about it.
I'm not complaining. I'm just
his dog is having to eat cardboard boxes that the mechs came out of at this point. It's very sad. But I know that the prices are going up, but in general, they're quite low. So, like, a salvage box in the UK, times?
How much is it? Sorry, Dummy, cut off.
Like £6, I think.
I think £6 or £7 with discounts from your local retailers. The newer ones, when we do get them eventually, probably be a little bit more. But the standard.
Yeah, so wait. Yeah. What can you get, like, model wise? So this is something that I'm very passionate about. I think it's very difficult for young people to get into the kind of miniature wargaming hobby right now, because it's not like you can go into your local games workshop and buy a blister pack shelf iPad. You have to buy a plastic box that maybe costs £35. Now, that's like, that might be your play money for the space between your birthday and Christmas. You know, that's a lot of money, and then you've got to get paint.
Yeah,
there's a lot more effort rather than just being able to pick up a blister from the shelf.
Yeah, I say, especially at the moment with some of the command lances and battle lances coming in with a lot of the discounts the shops have, I think they're looking about £16 to £18 a box. And that's 4 mechs, so that's enough. That's more than enough to play a game, like a standard game, quite easily. You can't really complain at those prices.
No, that seems like super reasonable, especially when, like, you know, £16 in this sort of current day in the UK does not go very far. Like, you can get like 3 Freddos and a pet.
Say your McDonald's on the way there it costs more than £16 in some cases.
Maybe yours, but not mine. When's it? So, what about you, Nathan? What do you love about Battletech? Why do you play Battletech?
Stockholm syndrome. I got tricked into it, and then I saw these cool robots, and I was like, hell yeah! And then I saw the complexity of it, and I went, hell yeah.
That's something that I meant to ask around, like, the complexity being an attraction factor. So I know that, Tom, you've mentioned this before, but, like, the crunchiness of the game is an attraction for you guys, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
The thing with it is that it just adds so much flavour to the actual game itself, because obviously if you're firing missiles, even if they're semi-guided, they're not all going to be able to hit. And if you fire a laser, you know, you can still duck behind a tree. Apparently not if you're kicking at someone, they can't duck behind a tree then. But
yeah, we learned finalized that, John.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah. So I just really, I really like, even if it does suck when your pilot gets headshotted on like turn two,
Care Bear.
So like a lot more believable, something like that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I hear that kind of same thing from a lot of people that I spoke to about Battletech. Obviously, like being involved in the Hexverse has meant that I've had to have a lot of conversations around Battletech and the crunchiness and the kind of old school vibes. Not just the crunchiness of the game system, but the fact you do have to play with, in a lot of cases, a pen and paper, mark off the little armor dots specifically, and then
I think a lot of people kind of compare it closer to like an RPG or something like Dungeons and Dragons than looking after your mech, more so than comparing it to maybe something like a standard war game. But as you said, obviously as well, you've kind of having that granularity is useful because it means that you can kind of, it's already leaning towards doing stuff like keeping track of ammo for stuff like campaigns, so it's encouraging multiple missions, which obviously the new mercenaries system obviously lets you do, which is cool. And there's a bunch of other game systems you can do, and a bunch of new game systems like Aces coming out that kind of encourage that campaign kind of system, and that kind of using that crunchiness rather than trying to get a game that wasn't meant for campaign play to play campaigns. It's like this game's designed with this in mind from the get-go. And it's a bit unusual because it's like, why have these mechs got 200 rounds of ammo? It's like, well, because you don't have to just play one game. And in theory, these mechs aren't just doing one battle, then going home. They're going to be out here for a couple of months. And this is just 10 minutes of that battle.
I mean, I've obviously already asked this question to Lewis and Nathan, but Tom, to be honest, I know that sort of the general reasons why you like Battletech. I'm more interested in sort of how you feel about the other ways to play Battletech. So when I think of Battletech, think of Classic, or think about like Alpha, Aces, Gothic. What's your like opinions on those?
Yeah, they're cool. Unfortunately, I'm not, like, it's not my jam specifically. Mm. Like, I'm a Classic person, really. So I'm not like super into, you know, I'm not super into, you know, Alpha Strike and that kind of stuff. But I understand.
But you like Mercenaries, the Merc system.
Oh yeah, no, I'm super into Mercs. I love Mercs. I think it's really cool. And I think there's some really good stuff. And I think that everything has its place. And there's like, it's silly. I think it's silly to like discount something just because you're not like you don't love it.
You don't feel like it takes away from the version of Battletech that you most enjoy. You feel like it's an additional palette for people to choose from if they want to, rather than it being, you know, distracting the developers, for example.
I would ask, just my question would be, why do you think it's distracting the developers?
No, I'm clarifying. I'm saying that, is that your opinion, that you don't feel like it distracts the developer?
I would sort of question why people would feel that, if you get my drift.
I think it's like, because I saw people in the Battletech Gothic saying sort of like, when Battletech's off Gothic, saw people just complaining that, you know, why are you doing this when you've still got all of this other things to do for the core game, you know?
I can understand that. Like, genuinely, I can understand why people feel that way. Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. Like, why are you, you know, there are things that they could be doing, and yeah, like, I can understand why people would be slightly upset about that. But to me, it's not, you know, it's not like
it's not like Battletech is hurting for mechs, right? Classic Battletech is,
yeah, no,
plenty of mechs available.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to find the best way to articulate this. I think that it's, yeah, I think that's probably it. It's not hurting for mechs at the moment. There's a decent amount of stuff knocking around. Like, it's not like Battletech is gonna fall apart.
No.
And I would say that, like, maybe,
Maybe it's just not that bad. The official kind of statement on this was that the team for, obviously we're kind of hinting at Gothic this, that the team wasn't a team that would have been doing anything anyway other than Gothic. So like it's not affected anything that would have come out because these people wouldn't have been doing anything if they weren't doing Gothic. There wasn't another project they were pulled off, and it hasn't affected officially any other products coming out or being released. It's just another project that's going on with a completely new team and kind of getting some people like the new art director like into Battletech and getting them to do some projects and stuff parallel with the people that were there currently. So in theory it shouldn't have affected them there, but I could see like why people would say, well, obviously in theory you could have grabbed those people and put them on another project, but the official statement is that they wouldn't have been doing anything anyway. Obviously, for Battletech, I know there's a bunch of people who aren't keen of this happening. But I know one of the things I've said to quite a few people is that it's one of these ones where I think you do need to say, I'm not keen on this. Like, so people can see the kind of community opinion. I know people say, oh, you're whining or doing whatever, but like, I think it is good to say, like, I'm not keen on this because this, this, and this, because it's better to say something than rather not say anything and then someone say, oh, well, we thought you loved it. No one said anything. So it's good to get your opinion out there. But I think the thing that's obviously going to affect things the most is sales, because, for example, obviously we've got the painted mechs in a bunch of the packs at the moment, and there was a big outcry about not being very keen on that. But obviously for Catalyst and for them, they're going to see for sales, like, is this affecting sales, having painted mechs in packs? Have people not bought packs because they've got painted mechs
in? People do like those painted mechs as well, because we've had comments. I know for certain we've had comments. We've been really happy to have the option to get those painted mechs. I mean, one thing I wanted to say just before we sort of close off the segment, it'd be really, and I just want to reiterate, it'd be really good to hear from those listeners that have been around in Battletech for a long time or even a short time and just hear what they have to say about the state of their game. Why do they like it and what do they find not so great about it? It'd be really good. But I think with that we can head to a break and then we'll be back with the Hexperts Build-A-Mech part two.
Don't forget the most important segment, Nathan's segment next.
Oh, is it Nathan's Corner next?
Oh, yeah.
God.
All right.
Oh, my God.
My hovel.
Catch you on the flip side, guys.
Catch you on the flip side.
Welcome back. Your Tech on Vortex. And this week, we've actually got one from the audience, Samuel Lewis.
Yes. I'll just
pass it over to you.
Super duper. So we've been sent one in from lovely listener Bass Top, and he is talking about some interesting mounts in Battletech. So you may know, you might not know, there's a bunch of interesting mounts in Battletech ranging from horses, camels, the popular Coventry kangaroo, and
yeah, that's what Lewis's nickname is on the streets. That's what I heard,
the Coventry kangaroo. And obviously, you may have seen or may not have seen that there's also dragon riders under the Brants, which I think coincidentally look a lot like dragons. However,
of course,
something that Bass has sent in to us is that did you also know that there is orca riders? So this guy's riding on top of orcas in Battletech.
Like SeaWorld.
Effectively like SeaWorld. They are.
Does that mean that there's probably like a pushback in universe to the Orca Riders where people are like protesting them and telling them that they're bad people?
It's like Warrior Ospreys with little orcas like in a hammock under them, just being flown about to the orca.
The universe is like, there's like a SeaWorld equivalent where they like bully whales and stuff.
No, it's where they put horses into water and make them.
Oh, no. That's really bad.
Do we have any more information like where this takes place, this awful atrocity?
No, I'm afraid not. It's more, do we think that there are orca riders in Battletech. Bear in mind, there is the Coventry Kangaroo. There is dragons. Do we think that they're riding around on orcas as well in Battletech?
You know what? I'm going to go with yes. This is absolutely a lore tech. I'm super cool with people running around with orcas. I'm
just worried about...
He loves SeaWorld.
Yeah, real life, I've done lore. The only worrying part about them in the Battletech universe is what happens when the mechs rock up.
Oh dear.
So they go, that's a weird battle mech, LRM-15. I'm like, what happens to these poor creatures?
Depends on the orcas.
Depends on the orcas.
Do they put guns on them?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh
that's sick.
Well, no, it's obviously just silly, isn't it? Let's be honest. No, it's just gone too far, hasn't it, now?
So, what I think, Tom, you're about to give your opinion, what do you reckon?
This has to be true. It has to be true.
Cool. Dom, do you have any opinion?
This is your tech. It's too silly. Now, if you told me dolphins, sure.
Yeah.
But my question is, who's going to be able to tame the mighty whale?
I don't know, Dom, but obviously I can let you know that it is actually a lore tech. There are orca riders within the Battletech universe. They've got submarine rules and all sorts. I didn't go too much.
What do you mean they have submarine rules, Lewis?
Because they class as
fishes.
Do you mean you can play the orca riders in game? There's a source book Shamu. What is going on here?
I don't think they have official miniatures. There are official miniatures for raptor riders and dragon riders, but there aren't for orca riders currently.
I'd worry if there's official miniatures.
So there's official
miniatures. Playing on the desert map, and you just rock up with your orca rider, and they're just
I'm more concerned that there's also just dragon riders. It's just like no one bats an eye at having dragon riders.
I didn't know about the dragon riders till now, but like, that's insane.
They exist. And the Coventry kangaroo is also a real is a real creature.
It's the killaroo.
There is a giant kangaroo that they ride around. I mean, they ride around on, and they've got like elephant guns, and they just shoot at mechs with them, like anti-tank guns. But yeah, so there's a... If you search for orca riders, they're hard to find, but Bass had mentioned that they're in TAC Ops. And if you look in TAC Ops, there's a whole section about riding different animals. You can have elephants if you want. You can just go back to... So Dom, for your intro game, if you want to have a bunch of elephant riders instead of mechs, you can do.
Mm, I can be Hannibal.
You could be Hannibal crossing the Alps.
Yeah,
you can be Hannibal. I'll just be myself.
Just be Dom. No elephant riding.
Just be Dom.
Dom does not agree with riding animals.
No, only the Coventry kangaroo, whatever they call
it. The Coventry kangaroo. But yeah, but that is, I wasn't sure. Obviously, when I read it, I was like, really? As it going, like, look it up properly, I was like, oh, wow. There's like whole rules for just using orcas. It's like, cool. But yeah, so interesting that it's true. And I obviously probably need to start looking into bringing some mounted riders at some point in the future.
Bring some orcas into the battle.
I think some dragons would be fun. Just have a bunch of dragons.
Now, when are we going to get battle mechs mounting these orcas?
No, like roller skates.
Get the mega orcas, put a centurion on there. He can fire his AC-10 while using his other hand to... It's the reins.
I think you're definitely going to get Space Peter involved if you're starting to ride.
No, use them like skis. Yes.
No.
That's what we
need. Just smush them. Yeah, but thank you very much for that anyway, Bass, for sending that in. That was funny and interesting.
That was great, Bass.
And very well hidden. Like, you had to actually, you have to go in the book. You can't just Google that.
Which book is that in, by the way?
It's in Tactical Operations.
Okay.
Tac Ops.
Very good book.
Yeah, cool. I think that's your tech or law tech for this week, at least.
This week.
Yeah, that was very good. Thanks again, Bass. And I think we'll go to a break. We'll see you next time on Your Tech or Law Tech, won't we?
Hopefully so.
Woohoo! Bye.
And we're back from the break, and back to the second main segment, so the co-segment of this podcast, which is us talking about the Hexperts Mech, So we've had the votes end for the Hexperts mech, and sadly, Ian's mech has won, which we can't have that happening anyway.
Is that the one with the weird arms and stuff? Because yeah, I feel like, how is that one?
I think Ian actually does have, he actually did have the correct, the mech does have arms, but he just forgot to send them to us. So,
well, I didn't see it, so it didn't happen.
So well, apparently our mech just has a half an arm with no hand on it. But, so what I'm going to do is that we've got a bunch of submissions from the community. So I'm going to say we should put Ian's mech against these three mechs in another vote, and the winner of this one will be the Hexperts mech. I think that's fair. Yeah? Well, I don't care. It's happening anyway. So
that's not how votes work, but, you know.
And then next week, we'll all have a vote of no confidence on that vote, and then we'll have to all vote again.
And then we'll have to re-vote.
And then we'll have another referendum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then we're going to rejoin the EU.
Exactly. Oh, we're...
Can't have that happening. Let's go through these mechs quick.
Brexit means Brexit. Anyway, so the first mech that we've got is the Wolf Spider from Grouchy. Grouchy, obviously, in Discord. I hope he's not. It doesn't seem to be that Grouchy, but not on the bad side of him just yet. He has, obviously, you guys can see the Wolf Spider. I'll quickly talk through his submission as well. So he was looking at the Hexperts logo and he said, "I get chonky spider vibes." So he's tooled up a 55 turn version of the spider. Obviously, great mech, ? No, it's a good mech. probably not. Agile for its size, not heavily armed, damaging beyond range 9. It could definitely serve a role when piloted by an expert.
Might be a Hexpert.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I am going to have to disqualify this mech.
Why? What's up with it?
He's made a Venom.
It's a pre-Venom.
Yeah, it's just a Venom.
Well, you just made a Jenna, and then we let you get away with that.
No. Mine was slightly different from the Jenna.
That is
this
true.
It's just a Venom.
No, but
ignore how I made a foam off H.
So anyway.
Dom made a mistake.
It's at 1,185 BV, 5.6 million C-bills, be a good addition to a Fire Lance, Spotter Harasser, or a meaty addition to a Recon Lance, which I agree. Reasonably well armoured, fast and medium mech survival, piloted smartly and keep moving, hand actuators to allow it to complete certain mission objectives or run away to fight another day. To be honest, solid mech, 696 movement, 4
yeah,
medium.
Do you know it's a solid mech, Lewis? It's because it's the Venom, which is an amazing mech.
I'd say it seems like a solid mech for like 30-25, but as soon as that big helmet gets discovered, it just
the helm memory core.
I'm surprised like how much BV it is, because mine's 800. It's got a bunch more,
I think,
like, tonnage of weapons, and it doesn't really loop. Like, it's got the same movement.
It's that
same engine.
It's got
and
good,
it just
it's 160 armor. It's got good movement,
like,
and jumping.
120 odd. So
I think
40 armor for 200 points is insane.
I'm not sure. Obviously, there's a whole algorithm thing behind it, but the algorithm obviously thinks this mech is better than your mech. And I think a good chunk of it's probably to range, because I think your range is like 3 hexes. So
that is true. Yeah,
I think you've got a couple of SRM2s that are like 369, but all the small lasers mean that I think that's where your points where you and your arm being a bit lower means your mech's a bit cheaper. But points wise, a Venom, which obviously, the mech looking like a Venom and a spider, it probably explains why that Grouch has gone for like a spider / Venom kind of thing. I think it's not bad design. Yeah, Tom's obviously mad about it because he thinks he's copied a mech.
I think it's a great name. Also, it's a spider wolf, which is, and he's called the Venom or whatever. That's just like Venom from the Marvel comics, because he's also spider related. So 10 out of 10, great name.
No, it's cool. No, it's super cool. Like, I've got no, I think it's excellent. It's just that it's a Venom, like 30 years before it is.
I'd say it's definitely up there in the selections. I mean, it's better than some.
Lewis.
What? the Hexad was a cool design. The Morningstar was...
The Hexad was not a cool design.
The Morningstar has a specific battlefield role, and that is to scare civilians.
And that is to... fly onto orphanages.
The Morningstar 2, with its many balls and chains and flame, is an effective mech at destroying buildings and causing terror in the enemy. And I won't hear anything different.
Yeah. Well, I like this mech. It's cool. And we can have a vote anyway to see which one we prefer. So shall we move on to the next mech?
There's too many votes in the Hexperts. When are we going to just have a democratically... When are we going to have a democratic coup and get rid of all these stupid voters?
When are we going to get the Hexpert dictatorship?
Yeah.
It's not far away after tonight.
we already have one.
Anyway, we've got a submission by one of our favourite listeners, Texan Rich, who's
yeehaw,
yeehaw. So
it's crazy that people actually do listen to her.
So, Rich has submitted the It's Bellinus Hexpertus.
Well, the Bellinus Hexpert. No, it's just the Bellinus Hexpert.
I don't understand the joke.
Love the pig Latin. Very fun.
What does it mean, Tom? I don't understand Latin.
It doesn't mean anything.
it's just a noise. Yeah, that's even better.
It's like in Warhammer when they make planet names and they're like,
yeah.
And then I think, you know, like, in, for example, there's like in a Caiaphas Cain novel, there's a place called Nuscumfabuntus, which is pig Latin for arse end of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I think it just, if it does have some kind of like deeper meaning, please do say, but as far as I'm aware, it's just like a jokey pig Latin.
No. Have you heard about, speaking of Warhammer planet names and pig Latin, have you heard about the latest campaign setting for Warhammer 40k?
What, Birmingham?
There's a planet with a giant gun on it, and it's called Massive Basilicus, or Massive Ballisticus, or something.
That's so good. Massive Ballisticus.
Yeah, but it explains what's going on. They can't knock that. But
what's going on.
Anyway.
It's rather descriptive.
Yeah, anyway, I'm sure you guys, you've obviously got the PDF so you can have a look at the mech, but Richard sent in, after listening to your latest episode and taking a look at the iconic mech, I felt inspired to create something that perfectly captures both the aesthetic flair and the charming impracticality of a true Hexpert's mech would embody. Behold my design, the Bellinus, a 7-11-7 Marvel that lives briefly by the motto, speed is armor. Unfortunately, we all know armor is armor, and this mech has almost none. Hence, a generous helping of AMS, which I think we can allow, to keep the...
What's AMS, sorry?
Anti-missile
system. Yeah, system. Oh,
okay. To keep the LRMs at bay and the SRMs. I've also added tag... A rare but fitting inclusion for an eccentric build. After all, someone has to coordinate fire support while looking good doing so. And as for a primary weapon, the right arm flamer stands alone, because what's more Hexpert than charging into the battle with your most dangerous weapon being a light spray of fire? picture this, a prancing sprite darting through the air, AMS blazing, fire spitting, and heroically spotting indirect fire for its more heavily armed lance mates. Hope it gives you a laugh, or at least a raised eyebrow. We do have a second part of this message, but let's have a look for the mech first anyway. So,
I just want to say, this is the most on-brand that we've put someone that has made. Rich, you've managed...
Oh God, it's got no armor. How has he done this?
No, Rich, you have managed to make the perfect mech. This is going to lose because it's objectively a terrible mech. However... I want to say now, from the bottom of my heart, this is truly beautiful.
This is like
it's exactly what we need.
This is Morningstar level of mech.
this has to be one of the greatest mech designs I've ever had the pleasure to witness personally.
I think we need to play this mech. Like
just look at it. Seven jumping, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only got IMS. A flamer?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to run in there. Hopefully it doesn't explode and it just kicks people repeatedly.
For some reason as well, I think Richard's put an anti-personnel pod, so if any infantry run up to its legs, it just explodes.
No, Lewis, not its legs.
Oh,
it's
a leg.
White leg.
Its left leg doesn't have one.
No, the left leg doesn't get one.
Just if you run,
wrong leg. It's like hundreds of people just crawling up him. Someone just touches the right leg, it just takes him.
It's like a claymore at the leg.
I didn't even know you could have one armor on the rear of a mech. I've never seen it before.
I just had a great idea. We make this mech, but then we pay it on the right leg, point towards enemy.
That is what you do. It's also the wrong tonnage as well. It's 10 tons lighter.
It's 10 tons lighter. We could just...
Richard just doesn't want the tonnage. He's just like, I didn't even worry about it.
We don't need tonnage where we're going.
This is exactly what we need.
Yeah, that is true. It's an interesting mech. It's very, very on brand. We definitely get that raised eyebrow. But to carry on with the email anyway, it's actually the second part of it. It's kind of like a second email, actually. Something else I would be pure experts. Picture a Shadowhawk stripped down to its bare, brutal frame. No armor for modesty, just raw steel and audacity mounted high on one shoulder, a towering AC-20, chambered with a single turn of pure vengeance. This sounded very Nathan. And a paint scheme, not just for colours, a banner of empire, the entire mech draped in the glorious blue, red and white of the Union Jack, bold, yielding across its armour plating, a flag not flown but worn into battle. Now forget the skull motif.
You know what's crazy though? That mech went to school last week, right? And they made the mech go home.
They made the mech go home.
Yeah, the diversity mech day, they made the mech go home. It's crazy.
The Americans won't have seen that in the news, but obviously that did kind of happen in the news recently.
They made the mech go home just because the mech was wearing a Union.
Oh, so that we're definitely going to have that as the picture for the YouTube video now.
First off, I'd like to dispel any rumours that this is at all one of my mechs because of the opening words to describe this. Imagine a Shadowhawk. I had to mute my mic just to cover up the sounds of me throwing up.
There's more. Now forget the skull motif of the Atlas. Instead, resting proudly on the iron shoulders is the immortal visage of Winston Churchill, carved or moulded. It doesn't matter, so as long as that scowl and cigar, a small laser are there, daring anyone to question its authority.
Sorry, can I rename this mech to the Colonizer?
Yeah, this isn't just a battle mech. It's a marching monument to British resolve, power, prestige, and one hell of a stiff upper lip. It doesn't stride into battle. It makes an entrance with the thunder of empire, powered by caffeine rush of afternoon tea and the iron will of its Albion heart. That's perfect.
The one thing I do have to say is, where is the flamer? Because how else are you supposed to set fire to the White House if you don't have a flamer? Come on.
I'll just read. There's a bit more. Also, probably to be made by Mini in their Oxford plant. So, killer Mini emblem emblazed on its chest. Cool. So, yeah, that is... So
very, very cool.
Tom, get off Cyberpunk. I can see you playing games.
What?
Get off.
I can see your asses playing Minecraft.
Get off there. Anyway, so I think we'll take the... I like the Winston Churchill mech, but I think we probably need to take the Bediness expert. It just doesn't care. It's just missing 10 tons, which probably would have helped with the armor.
You know what you do with that 10 tons.
What's that?
More AMS.
just 10 tons of AMS ammo.
Not even AMS, just AMS ammo. you don't actually get more survivable, you just have more ammo.
If we've got 10 tons spare, does that mean we could also have some effigies of Prime Minister Truss? Could we also have that?
Well, to be honest, it'll probably survive as long as she did.
Oh dear. Well,
British political humour from 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably mock the week, ain't we?
Yeah. That was definitely fun. I think it's nice seeing a mate that puts the Morning Star, gives the Morning Star a run for its money. But yeah, so lastly, last submission was from Seth White Fox. Obviously, you probably know from the Mercenary Star podcast. He has sent in the Hex Hawk, and his message says, challenge accepted. He's sending in the Hex P01X. You may have noticed that's a difference to the one we've got currently, which I'm just about to go through. Money's no object. BV is meaningless. PV is worth the cost. All the weapons can fire both front and rear because it's got turrets. Lasers bounce off. It's got half damage and can jump 7. It can fire LRMs, SRMs, Swarm, Inferno. Also, no weapons in its arms that it can punch. Just don't let it get hit back. It's 55 tons of 3151 Ilklan Inner Sphere goodness. And obviously, we've not got that far in advance just yet. So I think Seth then, not too long after, sent in the 3025 version of this mech, which is the Hex Hawk 00X, which I think is the more base version of that. But the Ilklan version of it sounds very scary, of those MMLs and reflective armor.
But this sounds like the most Mary Sue mech of all time.
No, it's actually not.
It can do everything.
I think it's just a cool medium mech. But I think this one's interesting because it's got turrets. So,
I love turrets.
So the weapons can swivel around, can't they? But I think they can, if they get hit, they stop.
I think so. Yeah, they get locked.
But to be honest, though, if you're getting it's just crit padding. If someone hits the shoulder turret, then like that's fine. If
oh no, my shoulder's facing forwards forever now. What a tragic loss.
I'm just curious, how many maces?
How many maces it has? Zero.
It does have zero.
So what it's got is it's got the Hexhawk. It's obviously a 55 ton mech this time. It's 585. It's got two medium lasers in the left torso and a shoulder turret on the left torso, which they're in. And a SRM-4, which I think is also left torso turret.
I think we should remove points for it being actually the exact tonnage.
The exact tonnage.
You mean?
Yeah, points should be removed for following our instructions correctly.
People for listening. Well, Seth did send in. Seth did send in the wrong year to start with, so he gets his points back.
Yeah, you do actually. Yeah, you know what? I didn't think about that. 10 points.
Yeah, 10 points.
10 points to Gryffindor.
Yeah. What? I was about to say, what kind of Hogwarts-ass rating system are we working on here?
Tom's rating system. It's because he's distracted playing Cyberpunk.
Young Potter. My God. I'm listening, Luke.
I'm listening to Cyberpunk. V, get out of there, Tume.
Why this wow. Is pretty great.
Yeah,
have we got a guest on this podcast today? Have we got the guest Cyberpunk 2077 narrator?
It's Johnny Silverhands.
It's me, Johnny Silverhands.
Fucking Johnny held palms over
it. Anyway, so we've covered the left torso. Surprisingly, on the right torso, there is an SRM-4, two medium lasers in the right shoulder turret as well. So I'm imagining this mech has got just two little fortress kind of turrets sticking out his shoulders with a bunch of guns on that can spin around.
Yeah, which guns on the turret? That's the real question. Yeah. Is it just the SRMs? Is it just they're, two of the lasers?
They're all on turrets, so they're all...
Yeah, so
It's kind of like a mech. It's like a mech if it took... I think it's like stuck two tank turrets to its shoulders and they just can spin all the way around. It's like...
Boys, we literally are playing turret techno.
Definitely. But it's 1,254 BV. It's... I know we joked about it being... It's like a big Jenna, but a big Jenna that has turrets, which is cool. So I kind of like this.
I actually do like it as well, you know.
Oh God, it's actually
the Hexhawk, baby.
It's actually a good mech.
I can't wait to see the variations when we revisit this in the future. So we might possibly see a Hexhawk 2.0.
Oh dear, 2.0. But yeah, the later version sounds pretty brutal. Getting those MMLs and in there, that's pretty mean. But yeah, for now though, it's a pretty nice. It's pretty well armored, pretty fast, and pretty well armed. And you're not going to get behind him. So like, he's actually very competent mech.
Well, I'm going to get behind this mech and say this is probably my third favorite design out of the lot.
Third favorite. God dear. What's your? We'll come to that in a minute anyway. So yeah, so that is the submissions we have for Mex. So what we're going to do is we'll probably put a new vote in the Discord and a new vote in the Spotify for putting these Mex against the Mildred. And whichever one of those wins is going to be the Hexpert mech. I'm a bit worried that that
Tom's going to pay furry artist a ludicrous amount of money to draw a mech.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried. I'm a bit worried that the Pex, the Belliness Hexpert, is going to win, and we're going to have a mech to mech to play for.
It's going to be the most perfect mech for us, though, ain't it? So it's fine.
It's I'm worried. But yes.
No.
Yeah, so keep an eye out in the Spotify and the Discord for the votes, and please vote for a reasonably sensible mech or whatever you want to vote for.
No, live.
So yeah, so that's submissions for the part two of the Hexpert's mech. So we'll catch you guys on the other side of the break. So catch you guys on the flip side.
Bye.
And we're back from the break, and we're back to Mech of the Week, with Tom's choice this week, Flashman. Why are we choosing this little laser boy, Tom?
It's my favourite mech.
What?
It's my dad.
It's actually not my favourite mech. It's one of my favourites.
I knew it.
You know, I thought it was Nathan's choice, because Nathan's been using the Flashman quite a lot lately. But again, I know
it's because it's an amazing mech.
I don't think I think we've ever used one. I've painted one up, but I've never actually used it. I'm gonna have to.
Why not, Liz? It's really good. Like it's so good. It's like, do you want lasers? Yes. Do you want ammunition? No. Flashman.
Yeah, he's cool. Model's sick. It's had a real good glow up, because the original Flashman models, if you guys have ever seen the metals, they're not good. they're not bad for their era. But actually, they are bad. They're bad for their era. But
they're just like they're just like a really skinny version of the current Flashman.
I to be fair, all I'm going to say is I absolutely adore the new egg.
Oh yeah, the new egg is good, Nathan. If you look it up, Nathan, you'll be like,
I'll have a quick look in a second.
Excuse me. Yeah, but the new one is really cool. But let's have a little talk about some of the history of the Flashman. I'm just going to do a quick recap, because there's quite a lot to talk about, but just a kind of bare basics to start with. So the Flashman, sometimes called the Flashman by us, or in-universe called the Flashbulb, walked off.
Or
yeah,
the Flash in the Pan Man.
Flash in the Pan Man.
Sometimes.
What a terrible name.
Yeah, it walked off production lines in 2701. Initially designed as an anti-ambush mech for Star League heavy and assault lances, it would sit at the back ready to deal with unforeseen threats. This mech did such a good job that... during the Star League, there was actually whole battalions of just Flashmen. So that shows how good they were. Downside for this is, because they were so good, they ended up on the front line. So between the fall of the Star League and the First Succession Wars, I think they ended up only being 500 Flashers left. So that's not much. What? Yeah, they got absolutely decimated. Because I think because they're so good, they just chucked them on the front line, and then like, oh, there's not much left. I think that didn't help as well, because I think the factory that made them got blown up, as often happens during this era. They obviously did start to make some new factories. I think Defiance Industries started and made some downgraded versions of the Flashman. But the standard Flashman, or the base one that we kind of see like on Sana, or the if you kind of go for the standard one, is actually the Star League one, not the downgraded one. So the Star League one, Nathan, could you tell us what it's equipped with?
Well, it's a 75-ton heavy mech. It has an FLS/HV1 chassis. It's got a General Motors 375 XL engine, which allows them to go 86 kilometers per hour, 8 hexes, or 53 miles per hour, which is actually faster than like a 353. Let's go, boys.
Yeah, boys, done it.
It's got
Have a good mech.
Double heat sinks. What are they? Well, they've got three Celotex Randonic large lasers mounted in the right arm, left arm, and the center torso, and five Inchiba 3000 medium lasers, one in each arm, coaxial to the large laser, one in each side torso, and one mounted in the bootay of the mech.
Yes.
It also comes with a buzzsaw AMS system and a Zippo Mark X anti-personnel flamer in the head.
I love it that Zippo have carried on making...
I just find it amazing that you're putting the flamer in the head so far away from the infantry. Well, that's got to be some flaming off. Right.
I suppose it's somewhere to put it, but yeah, I suppose it probably would be better a little bit lower down.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose if you were next to buildings and you were trying to set...
In the penal is where you need to put it.
No, if you're next to a building and you're looking through hospital windows, and you...
hospital windows!
For example, you are a...
You are, you?
If you're walking through a city and you visit the 57th story orphanage...
You need to go top to bottom.
Let's just say they'll be making some s'mores.
Yeah,
how about we heat up those steel beams of theirs?
Okay, let's carry on to the...
What are some of the variants that we've got the flash?
Well, thank you, Nathan. So obviously we've seen the 8K, and this is the 7K, which is a far cry from the fast and deadly original Flashman. It's a downgraded version that was produced by Defiance Industries in 2796 after the destruction of the Renault Prime factories. To be fair, I'm surprised they didn't all break down if they're Renaults. it's rough. Using a blueprint that was acquired prior to the factory's destruction, the advanced XL engine was no longer being produced, though, and a standard VLAR 300, an amazing engine.
It's a good engine.
Was used, which now only has a top speed of 64.8 kilometers per hour, so it's now a 4.6.
back to the normal movement, boys.
In addition, the center torso laser and AMS was double heat sinks were replaced by standard versions. The design now carries two arm-mounted Thunderbolt AA5M large lasers, five Defiance B3M medium lasers, and a Coventry Volcano flamer. Woo! Surprisingly, the armor protection has not been sacrificed in any way, which has resulted in the 7K being far more durable than the SLDF version due to its lack of an XL engine. The 7K used the Faust Calliope FM4 communication system and the Tharhez Ares 7 targeting and tracking system as well. Following its reintroduction of the 8K, production of this model ceased. So it's kind of used during the Succession Wars.
It's a pretty solid mech.
I actually prefer it to the original.
Yeah, I did forget to say.
You lose the heat sinks, but you also lose the engine, and you still got like a decent amount of heat sinks jammed in there. But what I'm wondering is that from the different like producers, are the large lasers of the SLDF era stronger than the large lasers of the...
I think lore-wise there'll be differences, but like gameplay-wise they're effectively the same. Like I think
lasers are pretty standard.
Yeah.
But it might just be the way of like, it might just be stuff like how the circuitry goes or like certain things of like how it works like that.
I don't know about the standardization of lasers. I mean, for the first few books, they were measured in the diameter of the hole they came out of.
True, so true.
Also, I forgot to mention the original Flashman was 1,779 BV, or...
That's a price.
17,831.
How many longbows?
It's like a longbow and a third or a quarter. So yeah, actually, more than one longbow. But yeah, I think as we were just saying, this is, we like the Flashman, but actually the downgraded Flashman's pretty solid. Actually, for Mercs, if it was still around, like in the Ilclan era, like it'd be good. But obviously, ceased production, so probably not around.
I would say for once, actually, this is pretty good, and arguably, you would say I would actually take this. Like, if I was a mercenary, like for a mercenary campaign, I'd take the 7K.
Yeah.
But moving on to now cooler things, we have the FLS 9B, which is the first variant produced by the Word of Blake in 3068, following their conquest of Hesperus II. The 9B utilizes a light fusion engine, compact gyro, endosteel structure, light ferrofibrous armor, and a small cockpit. 12 double heatsinks struggle to cool the all laser configuration. Two ER large lasers enable the Flashman to strike from long distances, two ER medium lasers, two medium pulse lasers, and an ER small laser are powerful up close. This variant also carries a C3i computer, enabling the 9B to share targeting telemetry with other like-equipped units.
I think it's that C3I is the one. I think there that really boosts that to be.
It's only 1600 points as well.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It's not.
Is it?
It's not amazing. Yeah. But I think the C3I. Don't forget, you'll be paying the extra for using
20%.
So that's where that bumps up to being quite expensive.
That's another 320 points. So you're looking at 1920 plus pilot.
But if you're getting all that heat note short range though, that's some.
Maybe you'll just shut down. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of EL blazers.
Yeah, I don't like EL blazers. Even the clan ones are too much. But it's not too.
They just run too warm. Yeah. I think, in my opinion, they just run too hot.
The light fusion engine is good though, because at least it means that if you lose a cockpit, you're not dead. So you're a bit more survivable than the
True.
Seven or the 8K. So. But I think probably, as we said earlier, we probably prefer to have the 7K than this.
Well, talking about cool mechs that may be a bit different, we've now got the final variant we're going to look at today, which is the FLS-10E, which is intended to bring the mech up to the highest possible standards during the final years of the Dark Age. Defiance Industries would refit the Flashman with a fully clan-tech weapons array, a clan ER large laser in each arm, Ooh. And the center torso, supported by a clan ER medium laser in each arm. Forward facing in each side torso, as well as in addition to one rear facing in the left torso. Oh, okay, that's a run on sentence. It's the same as the 8K, but it's all clan. All clan and all clan ER. That's really odd, and I don't like how they formatted that sentence. That's a weird run on. A clan ER small laser in the head, and an inner sphere grade anti-missile system with a single ton of case 2 protected ammo round the mech out. Built upon an inner sphere grade endo steel frame and a shell of reflective armor, Ooh. 18 inner sphere double heat sinks, and a clan grade 375 XL engine fitted with a supercharger, this allows the 10E to rapidly close and overwhelm any foe.
But that sounds amazing, but Tom, how much is this mech?
It's only a cheap 3,349 BV.
But that is an absolute monster, because the damage that kicks out, and then reflective armor, meaning like people are sitting there trying to hit you with like PPCs and stuff, they're doing 5 damage. Like the medium laser's doing like 2 damage to you.
It's got a supercharger as well, which just messes everything up.
Downside is that this guy does not want to be in physical combat with anyone, but if you could just stay out of physical combat, it's...
That's what the supercharger's for, because you're already moving like 8 hexes as base as a heavy mech. You move, 11, is it, plus 3 for a supercharger?
Yeah, 14. It's not bad.
Ugh.
Okay, that is a real monster, but you pay for the points there.
Yeah.
So I know when I was looking at this, I thought there'd be more, maybe some more different variants of the Flashman, but they do seem to be very much very similar to the kind of base models. They don't seem to go too crazy or too far from that, which I think obviously is somewhat good, because I think it's not bad anyway. But most variants do kind of sit very close, even the ones we haven't talked about sit quite close to the standard kind of configuration anyway, or the kind of layout or silhouette. But what do you guys think? I think that's a pretty... I think the standard Flashman's good. I think the 7K is just so efficient that it's hard to not go for that. But
7K is the best one.
What do you reckon, Nathan?
7K is all right. That's the one I usually use.
Cool. And Dom, have you got any opinions?
7K, more like 7. Hey, get me a different mech.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like it. I don't like the look of it. I think the old one looks like the worst thing I've ever seen, and
it is really bad.
Is it the one that I put in the chat?
Which chat have you put it in?
Yeah,
the pod chat.
Man looks at.
He's got like the blade arms.
That's not one of the worst ones. I think there's one that's worse than that.
Oh my god, I need to see this. But that guy looks cool. I like him.
He's not too. I think he's not too bad, but I think the paint job on that really helps bring that up.
The original Flashman looks like RTD2 with legs. I don't like proper legs, like human legs. I don't like it.
I think I often get confused between this and the Katana as well. The Katana original model, or the Crockett, shouldn't have said that. Tom's going to be happy about that. Doesn't look the...
he said!
doesn't look the best. But yeah, so Dom hates it because it looks like R2-D2. Yeah, that's it. That's the one I was thinking of, Nathan. That is not. But yeah.
He looks like he's wearing the wrong trousers.
He does. He's painted them green. So, yeah, so he's definitely had a glow up. Solid mech, but as I think Dom has pointed out, that not always the prettiest looking mech, but the new one I think looks good. It's actually nice to paint. And
yeah, the new one's lovely to paint.
Solid. It's hard to, generally hard to kill. Doesn't probably be better if you didn't have the AMS, because it becomes a zombie mech then. Great little guy. I actually haven't used one, but I think I will. I know you, Nathan, have been using them, and don't know if I'm, maybe one day Dom might use one. But yeah,
probably not,
because it looks like R2D2, man. Yeah, so that's mech. Yeah, that's not what R2D2 sounds like. That's mech.
Booba.
There we go. Dom's got it. It's me.
It's me. R2D2. It's me. Luke Skywalker. What's your body count?
Hey, it's me. R2D2. I'm the blue fella with the robot arms.
hey, Luke. Hey, Luke. What's your body count?
Hey, I'm fucking here. I'm R2D2.
Hey, I'm hovering here.
I would like to apologize to our.
I'm hovering here.
I'd like to apologize to our New York listeners. We'll carry on. To the next segment.
I'm half ready.
Yeah, I'm going to catch you on the flip side here. Catch you guys in a minute. And we're back from the break, and we're back into the outro. But before we got the outro, we've got Nathan's mouse sack, which this week is all empty and floppy because we've already talked about mech submissions. So there's not.
I don't like you talking about my mailbag is floppy. Thank you very much.
Well, listeners, if you would like to help Nathan's mailbag stop being so floppy, and would like to engorge it with some mail, please feel free to send some messages into experts helpline@gmail.com or post up on the Discord. And obviously, appreciate all the mech submissions and emails we've been having recently. It's great actually been having to chat to you guys, and obviously appreciate everyone jumping into the Discord as well. It's starting to pop off. There's actually people being able to speak to us. It's not just us shouting into the void. But yeah, thank you for listening, guys. And as we just said, if you've got any support, feedback, please pass that on. If good or bad, like, favorite, share, subscribe, ring bells. All
get the switch all the treadmill YouTubes onto us. And yeah, get we remote, go into chip shops and change their TV displays to experts. You know, spread the word, really.
Yeah. And also, I think we're going to try and start doing some more Spotify videos as well, if that's what you want to listen to or watch. We can try and do that. Nathan's going to figure it out.
We're going to do some things.
Some things. And apparently, I have to open up my OnlyFans soon to get some more money in. We'll get the link for that in the notes as well. So we'll catch
OnlyFans.
Yeah. So anyway... we'll catch you guys next week. So catch you guys on the flip side.
Catch you next week.